All right, well, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue, and I'll remind you guys that attorney Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, 30-year veteran in the practice of law, Stan McDonald, longtime conservative, is the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a minute. Okay, so there's a remarkable story in the book of Acts, chapter 18. So in the book of Acts 18, a man named Apollos is described as being a Christian who was very learned. He had studied scripture extensively. It's said in the passage that he was a great speaker. He was very accurate in his presentation of Christ and the new faith. Okay, so what's the catch? Well, it goes on to say, though, that Apollos had not been taught about Jesus. He knew about things up to the point of John the Baptist, but he had never been taught about the rest. So, this is the book of Acts, this is after the resurrection. Some of the Apostle Paul's team invited Apollos over for dinner, and they gave him the bigger picture, after which he became an evangelist, traveling to other towns to speak even more effectively. You get what I'm saying? He didn't know everything, but he knew enough to start. He wasn't rash or impetuous or impertinent. He was actually earnest and effective, and he studied quite a bit, and he started off with the idea that you got to go with what you know, and when he eventually knew more, he did more. Okay, having said that, sometimes the knowing does not require them to validate it for us. We can just see it. We know it's there. And I'm watching the world around me right now, like many of you. I'm trying to see through all the smoke and the haze and tell the truth from the fiction. And I don't know it all, but I know some, and I know what I believe. And I really believe that we are in a time that is pivotal in the history of our nation. But times like these also leave folks kind of feeling uncertain, uneasy, unsure sometimes of what they know and how to act or react. And I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with folks and they will ask me about something and their follow-up is, yeah, I just don't know enough about it to do anything, you know? Well, I'm here to tell you today that's the wrong position to let yourself get into. Because if we wait until we know it all, we won't get anything done. And sometimes you just got to simply go with what you know. History tells us that making decisions without all the facts is sometimes the most important thing that can actually be done. But there's also times when there's a deliberate effort to paint a version of the truth so that we can look, but not easily be able to discern what's what. We know our eyes don't deceive us, our ears don't mishear us, our sense of right and wrong is still intact, and yet we are told that we didn't really know enough to really know. You know, you don't know enough to really take action or to know something. You don't know all the facts. Well, I had an experience once that was pretty enjoyable. When I was in public office, I had the usual supporters and detractors, and it was actually amazing to find out how many people out there are what Rush Limbaugh would call low information voters. It's not about going with what they know. It's about having a complete lack of understanding. like their lack of understanding remains fully intact at all times, it seems like. Never taking the time to actually get any facts at all before spouting off. So in my state Senate district, I had Cherokee County, and Cherokee County had Weiss Lake, and Weiss Lake had some perpetual problems with upstream contaminants that floated down the Coosa River from the mills in Georgia. Like most places, Cherokee County had its passionate people who had their causes, and some of them are never satisfied, but I did what I could to help. So imagine my surprise when I got an email one day, and it was copied to all the members of the press. It was one of my local activists for Weiss Lake, and I'll just call him Tom. So old Tom, being opinionated, sure of himself, began to rip me on this email. Just rip into me. Just rip me good. Right there in front of the press on the email. Telling me I hadn't done enough for Weiss Lake, and that he was driving through Huntsville a few days before that, heard me on a talk radio show discussing getting a grant for a hockey team. He figured if I had enough time to help with something like hockey, I could make more time for Weiss Lake. Well, by golly. This was going to be fun. So I cracked my knuckles and I commenced the typing. And I made sure I copied all the media folks again. And I said something like, Tom, you may not be aware there's two of us in the state legislature named Phil Williams. And the other guy is my friend Phil Williams, who serves in the House from Huntsville, and I serve in the Senate. I hear he's a big fan of hockey. And then I commenced to remind old Tom of all the things that I had done to actually help Weiss Lake. Within minutes, he wrote me an apology that was almost stammering in its typed-out reply. And one of the members of the media chimed in and said, ain't it funny what people don't know they don't know? It was an epic moment. But listen, too often we get the opposite, right? To his credit, Tom realized and he recanted, but far too often we get folks who stick with the storyline, tell us how wrong we are, and demand that we get on board, even when the facts come out and they play dumb and try to leave us to pick up the pieces. I say all that to say sometimes you just know, and you can tell you know, and you may not have all the facts, but you know that you know. Other times people ride in ignorance and they love their ignorance and they don't want to hear the truth, but in the middle of that are the people who too often try to cover up the truth to make it difficult for both sides. So that, my friends, is where we are right now with the cover-up of Joe Biden's health and his ability to run the country. In case you missed it, let me get you caught up. This past weekend, the world learned that Joe Biden does now have an aggressive form of prostate cancer, and it has already reached stage 4. It's already metastasized into his bones. Stage 4, and we're just finding out. Look, I'm going to pause here and say that I wish him the best. I hope he beats it and lives on to enjoy his twilight years in good health. I do. I also hope that those that perpetrated the greatest fraud in the history of modern politics go to jail. Because the storyline that we were fed over and over was that Joe Biden was sharp as a tack, able to run rings around his staff, fully in command of the White House and running the free world with an authoritative hand. But we could see it. We could plainly see the problem. So we were told, no, it's a speech impediment. That's just old Joe being Joe. You know how he is, they said. Charming, witting, self-deprecating. Never mind how many times he literally fell down in public. I mean, like, fell down. Or lost his train of thought. Or couldn't find a word. Or took another vacation weekend or called a lid on his day at 2:30 in the afternoon. We could see it. But we were told not to see it. And then Special Counsel Robert Hur was finally allowed to interview Biden regarding the absolute fact that he had classified documents scattered all over God's creation. And it went so badly in the interview that Hur issued a statement saying he would not press for an indictment because Biden was just an older man with a failing memory, apparently. Basically, what he was saying was Biden would have made an incompetent witness in his own trial. A spectacle. A debacle. So they lied some more and told us that Hur was being partisan, that it was malpractice for him to issue such a statement. Kamala Harris got out there and said, "My experience as a prosecutor tells me that was malpractice." Well, then the debate happened. The debate. You know, I don't have to give you a date. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It was the debate. Biden imploded on national TV, and the Democrats and their mouthpieces in the media couldn't keep the lie going. And now Jake Tapper has his own tell-all book coming out, which I'm sure will not implicate himself as being somehow complicit in the cover-up. But yes, the book hits the shelves in the coming days, and then suddenly, right before the book comes out, the same outlet who, as Jake Tapper's co-author working for them, Axios, got a hold of the audio of the Biden interviews with Special Counsel Robert Hur. And when you hear the audio, it's even more awful. So much more awful. To hear an audio version as Biden sleepily stumbled and rambled his way through the interview with aides having to even chime in to give him key details like what year his son died. So now you have the book and the audio tracks and the debate. It's all coming to a head, and heads need to roll. So cue the sympathy-inducing diagnosis of prostate cancer. Let's change the dynamic. Quick. They won't pick on him hard if he has cancer. They won't ride him, deride him, or dare to question him, or his wife, or his staff, or his media buddies if they're all taking care of the man who has stage 4 cancer. Never mind the fact that stage 4 cancer that metastasizes into your bones usually takes several years to get to that point. Did they really not know? All God's children know that he had the best medical treatment in the world. Nobody in the world has a better daily medical care plan than the President of the whole United States. He has a doctor who lives down the hall from the Oval Office. He has medical staff. He has Walter Reed Medical Center. He has personal helicopters to whisk him away whenever needed. And nobody saw cancer? Nobody? Like, ever? So medical pundits have now been weighing in, throwing shade on all this. And I'm not an MD. I'm not. But I see what I see, and I know what I know. This is another in the myriad of cover-ups. How long has he had it? Who knew what and when? Was the plan to just keep going to his personal doctor in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, every weekend to get infusions and just pretend it was another vacation? To keep calling a lid on his day because the treatments were wearing him down? And to get past the election and then announce he was stepping down so Kamala could cackle her way into the West Wing? You see, the thing is, we could see it. They told us we couldn't really see what we were seeing, but the fact is we could, and it was awful. and it's now being proven that even with their blanket denials and impertinent obfuscations that we were right all along. It wasn't blind, opinionated dislike of Biden or his policies. It was the fact that we were given no reason to trust a group of lying, power-grubbing sycophants. They were so bad at telling their lies that it was almost funny and yet so incredibly and maddeningly sad. And I want to know who knew what and when. I do. Who was running our country? Who was using the auto pen? Somebody needs to be held to account. Was this elder abuse? I think it could have been. Was it fraud? Certainly. Was it power grubbing? I would say so. It was not politics, my friend. It was not politics. It was just a lie. So yeah, you go with what you know. And we knew what we knew. We could see it all along. We didn't have all the facts. We didn't have the background story. We didn't have Jake Tapper's book. But we still knew it. It was obvious. And don't let somebody tell you that you just don't know enough to be able to see what you see. You go with what you know. And you don't have to know everything, just something. And we knew what we were seeing all along. And heads need to roll. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.